This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross.
I'm in the mood for love, simply because you're near me. Oh, funny when you're near me. I'm in the mood for love, woman.
That's Louis Armstrong singing the Dorothy Fields Jimmy McHugh song, I'm in the Mood for Love. Our program today is devoted to lyricist Dorothy Fields. It's part of our series on American popular song. Dorothy Fields is one of the lyricists that my guest Philip Furia writes about in his book The Poets of Tin Pan Alley. His latest book is a biography of Irving Berlin, and he's at work on a book called The Songs of Hollywood. Philip Furia, what were Dorothy Fields' trademarks as a lyricist?
I think of any lyricist who wrote in that time, she was probably the most vernacular. She had a real ear for the American colloquial language and could take an everyday phrase that has no romantic connotations at all, like, don't blame me, and turn it into a love song. Don't blame me for falling in love with you. Or, I'm in the mood for love. It sounds like something like, I'm in the mood for Chinese food tonight. And she takes that phrase and, again, turns it into a romantic song.
And what do you think was distinctive about her rhyming?
She could rhyme in a very elegant way, a very literate way, as well as a very slangy way. She could create intricate rhymes like, a fine romance, my dear, this is a fine romance with no kisses. And yet she could rhyme so quietly you could barely hear it. She could take a line like, with your smile so warm, there is nothing for me but to love you. You can barely hear that rhyme. So it could be jazzy and flashy, but it could be so very, very subtle as well.
Now, Dorothy Fields wrote lyrics for reviews, for Broadway musicals, for movie musicals, and she was among that first group of songwriters who moved from Broadway to Hollywood in 1929, right after the invention of talking pictures. And she had to adjust to some of the early movie musical conventions. And I want to play you an example from an interview that she recorded in the 60s about one of the conventions she had to adjust to. This interview is now part of the Columbia Oral History Project archive.
They felt in those days that you could not square, shall we say, music in a picture unless you saw an instrument playing the music. You see, this was 1929, and there hadn't been many musical pictures. And I remember so well, there was a picture we did called Love in the Rough, and every time we did a song, it was a golf story, by the way, and every time we did a song, the caddies had harmonicas, you see, and they would accompany behind the bushes the love song, and then the music would creep in. But they felt it imperative to have some kind of instrument on the set so that people would know where the music was coming from. Now, of course, they gave all that up.
Philip Furia, does that ring true to you?
Yes. When sound movies came in, it was a real boon for songwriters because suddenly in the Depression, there was work out in Hollywood. You can go out and write songs for movies. But it was also, as Dorothy Fields would say, a curse because movies were such a realistic medium that the last thing Hollywood producers would tolerate is characters bursting into song without some excuse to sing, or audiences wondering, where's the movie music coming from? I don't see it on the screen. So that realism really worked against songwriters in the early years of musicals because producers simply wanted, you know, absolute authentic realism in why people were singing.
Dorothy Fields wrote several movie musicals with Jerome Kern, and one of the wonderful ones is Swing Time, a musical that starred Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. And some of the songs from that are The Way You Look Tonight, A Fine Romance, Pick Yourself Up. Now, Dorothy Fields' first partner was Jimmy McHugh, and he was a Tin Pan Alley guy and wrote a lot of jazz-oriented tunes. Jerome Kern came more from the world of operetta. What do you think Kern and Fields brought out in each other?
Oh, it was a wonderful kind of sweet and sour combination because Kern wrote a very high and classical musical line. And Dorothy Fields had come up from the Cotton Club and she wrote a very slangy, vernacular style lyric. So I think it, in some ways you have the best combination when you have opposites working together and you get a kind of magic in the song that I don't think she had in her early work with Jimmy McHugh. If you think of a lyric, Kern would write a beautiful melody and she would pay partial tribute to it in a song like Never Gonna Dance by saying La Belle, but then follow that with a swell romance, La Belle, a perfectly swell romance. So it's that combination of high and low, of elegance and yet earthiness.
Now, she wrote a song for Fred Astaire called I Won't Dance.
Yes, wonderful song.
The melody came from an earlier show that that Jerome Kern had done with Oscar Hammerstein, and Hammerstein had written the original lyric to it. And I think the story goes, you tell a story.
It was for a British musical called Three Sisters in the early 30s, and Hammerstein and Kern wrote a song called I Won't Dance. It was not a very good song lyrically, but writing a song about dancing was very hard to do. You know, I won't dance, I can't dance, I don't feel like dancing. It's a form that wears out pretty quickly. And Oscar Hammerstein had an idea, and he said, well, I won't dance because I'm not a very good dancer. And that was the point of the song. Dorothy Fields got it in Hollywood and was told to set a new lyric to it. And she came up with a much sexier lyric. I won't dance because when I put my arms around you, the last thing I want to do is dance. And she had that wonderful line, for heavens rest us, I'm not asbestos. It's a very torrid kind of love song. And she really spiced up what had been a fairly banal love song before that.
Yeah, she writes, they say that music leads the way to romance, so if I hold you in my arms, I won't dance.
I won't dance.
Yeah.
And you can leave it to your imagination what else that she would do.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite of Dorothy Fields' lyrics?
Boy, that's a tough one. I suppose that I would have to say A Fine Romance, because it shows Dorothy Fields being something I think that she was better at than any other lyricist. She could be coyly suggestive in a song. She was, I think, more comfortable than other lyricists, most of whom were men, handling sexuality in songs. And maybe that women are just more comfortable talking about sex than men are. But whenever Dorothy Fields drops a line like, I never must the crease in your blue serge pants, I never had the chance, there's a kind of eroticism there that when Cole Porter does it or Ira Gershwin or Larry Hart, it always seems a little strained, like they're trying to be naughty. But when Dorothy Fields makes an erotic image or allusion, there's something very relaxed about it and very ladylike.
Well, great. We'll be hearing A Fine Romance sung for us by Becky Kilgore with Dave Frischberg at the piano in just a minute. Philip Furia, thank you so much for talking with us about the lyrics of Dorothy Fields.
Oh, thank you for letting me.
And Philip Furia is the author of a book about lyricists called The Poets of Tin Pan Alley. He's also the author of a biography of Irving Berlin. We'll be back after a break. This is Fresh Air.